TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents Winning Wednesdays, featuring John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. This is the show that covers the latest sports gambling topics from a worldwide perspective and is dedicated to the hearts and minds of sports enthusiasts everywhere. Now, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner on TalkZone.com.
Greetings, everyone, from Las Vegas, and welcome to the premier edition of Winning Wednesdays. This is an internet radio show dedicated to sports and sports gambling. I'm your host, John Kelly. I'm joined by Ken Weitzner. He is the owner and operator of a popular internet sports betting forum titled Ion Gambling, or EOG.com. Ken is better known as The Shrink. Ken, welcome to our maiden voyage, and tell our listeners why you've created Winning Wednesdays.
Well, John, I'd like to thank you for hosting this show. And the reason we created Winning Wednesdays was to try to give the gamblers that follow Ion Gambling a better shot at not only winning against the bookmakers, but finding safer online gambling sites if they choose to wager offshore. And I believe we have a slew of guests that are seasoned in knowledge that will help everyone learn, including myself.
Yes, some of the leaders of the industry will be joining us in weeks to come. Today it's Joe Lupo from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. He's been a longtime bookmaker in the industry, once at the Stardust Race in Sportsbook, now a casino executive in Atlantic City. He'll fill us in on what's happening with Delaware sports betting. We're going to ask Joe that question today at about 20 past the hour. Jeff Haney from the Las Vegas Sun, he's locked in to be a guest next Wednesday. He is well connected in the industry. Matt Humans from the Las Vegas Review Journal, Jimmy Vaccaro from Lucky's, a friend of yours, Mickey Richardson from Chris, one of the biggest names in the offshore industry, Ken, will be a guest on a future show. So I think with your context, with my context, we'll have a show that features an impressive guest list.
I agree. And not to mention, we've got Dr. Bob coming on, and we've got Right Angle Sports, two popular handicapping services that are not only successful in their record, but they actually are able to move the lines, which no other services are as able to do as these guys are. I respect anyone that's able to move the line on the Don Best screen, John.
The person most influential in line movement, Ken, is someone you know well. His name is Billy Walters. I call him the most successful sports gambler ever. Tell our listeners who Billy Walters is and how close is your relationship with Billy.
Billy who? That's a joke. When I worked for Billy or with Billy, we were always told to deny any type of a relationship because he expects people to work very discreetly and to get the job done for him. He's a ruthless person to work for, but I have the utmost respect for him because I was able to witness for 5 years all of his accomplishments, and I was able to also see firsthand how successful he was at beating the sports book. And more importantly, when I first was asked to join his team, I asked right away, am I going to learn anything? I want to learn. I just don't want to be a robot that bets games for you, Billy. I just want to learn. And he said, Ken, if you just shut up and listen, you'll observe and you can't help but learn. And I did, John. I learned a lot working with Billy. I noticed, you know, the most important thing that separates him from many other sharps is that he will never, ever take a bad line. If there's a number or a game that he's looking for and it disappears, I know many people that bet sports who will still chase that number, even if it's a half point, the worst of it. Billy will never, ever do that. So that's one way that separates him from the rest of the bunch. And another thing that he does really well is he can get down huge amounts of volume offshore in a matter of seconds. I mean, it's done like a director conducting a symphony. There's somebody that orchestrates everyone that's a beard, which is what I was working as, to go ahead and hit certain online sports books within seconds of one another. And literally, he could put down maybe $100,000 with the click of a key.
That's the voice of Ken Weitzner. He's the Shrink. His website is iOnGambling or EOG.com. I'm John Kelly. You're listening to the premiere edition of Winning Wednesdays. We'll be here every Wednesday live, TalkZone.com, or you can hear archived versions of our program at Ken's website, EOG.com. Well, a few more questions about Billy Walters, Ken. Why did you end your relationship with Billy? You talked as if it was over. And do you still have access to Billy's information?
Well, Billy and I worked together for 5 years, and that's kind of a long time when I speak to other people that moved numbers or bet games for Billy. The reason most people don't end up working that long is, A, either he doesn't trust you and he'll drop you, which wasn't the case with me, or B, after a certain amount of time, you become less valuable because the bookmakers are going to figure out that you're moving for Billy and they're going to cut your limits drastically. I'm not exaggerating when I say that even with all the connections I have in the industry, John, I was cut off by at least 30 to 40 sports books at some point, during the 5 years I had worked for Billy. So my value became less as I was unable to get down the volume of money I was originally able to get down in the early days. So we ended amicably. Right now, do I get some of Billy plays? Absolutely. When I do, I just try to stay out of his way. I don't take his number. I'm not greedy. And that's where I stand right now with my relationship with Billy. I still have the utmost respect for him, and I still consider him the number one icon in this industry. In fact, whenever I go to Costa Rica and I go out to dinner with bookmakers, the number one topic of conversation at the dinner table is always Billy Walters. That alone speaks volumes of how feared he is as a sports bettor.
Where is Billy's focus when it comes to sports gambling? What is he betting? Is it strictly football or football, basketball, baseball?
Well, Billy will bet on a lot of different things if he has an advantage, but primarily the two sports that he focuses the most energy on are college football and college basketball.
And I've heard it said that Billy employs handicappers. I believe at one point in time, Dr. Bob had a relationship with Billy Walters. Alan Boston, I've heard in the past, has had a relationship with Billy Walters. He will pay for information, will he not?
Absolutely. And I think Richard from Witt, Richard Bacciolari, who used to work at the Palms.
Yes.
He also was employed by Billy. So he will pay a lot of money for good handicappers. And he also pays well for people like me that were at one time moving games for him. Billy sometimes doesn't get the fair shake of it. I read things on the internet about him that are very cold and very untrue. He's always been fair to me, and I have, like I said earlier, John, I don't have anything bad to say about him.
No, he's a prominent member of the Las Vegas community here at Golf Course Developer. Is Billy Walters, originally, I believe, from the Middle West. I believe he grew up in Kentucky. Do I have that right, Ken?
You have that right. And he would consider himself a Southerner, not a Midwesterner.
Very well. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, John Kelly with Ken Weitzner, talking sports and sports gambling. I mentioned that Ken is better known as The Shrink. To first-time listeners, Ken, why the moniker The Shrink?
Well, I practiced psychiatry in my former days, and when I realized that I wasn't going to go but so far with medicine and the fact that doctors weren't earning the amount of money that my father had been earning. My father passed away recently, but he was a gynecologist. I started probing the internet, and I've always been fascinated with gambling. In fact, when I was 16 years old, I was already booking bets in high school I actually got suspended from high school because I was dumb enough to use the principal's copy machine to distribute the lines to my fellow students.
So, you were smart enough to be on the right side, though, Ken. You were taking the bets, not making the bets. You had the edge early on.
If you had seen the parlay sheets that we were paying out, you'd have really seen the edge I had. I think we were giving a 5-1 on three-team parlays. So, yes, we had the edge.
I chuckle when you said your background's in psychiatry because it probably helps dealing with some of the posters there at Ion Gambling or EOG.com. Some of the discussions are bizarre to say the least. It's mainly focused on sports and sports gambling, but every now and then a thread will be started to really attract some psychos.
Well, John, you're right, and I enjoy it because I consider sports betting to go under the realm of entertainment. And I actually enjoy some of these threads that are started that might be a little bit offbeat because they're entertaining. If I go to a site and all I see are sports statistics, I'm going to get bored. But if I go to a forum where once in a while I'm going to see posters getting into it, I'm going to get, you know, into those threads and see what it's all about because it's almost like a car wreck. Everybody, you know, says how awful it is, but when you're on the highway, everyone slows down to look at it. So that's the philosophy I have when running Ion Gambling. I don't mind as long as it's within reason that some of these threads get started that are a little bit offbeat. And we have great moderators who I know you're going to bring up later, but we have Mofo Me as my head moderator and Blondie as my other main moderator that really deserve much of the credit. That they're there all the time when I'm not around making sure that we have enough freedom of speech, but that we don't, you know, tolerate too much to the point where we go into the stuff which would be considered hateful or discriminatory.
And Ken's website, Ion Gambling, serves as a watchdog for the online gambling industry. Ken had first started a website called The Prescription. He sold that website for $2.4 million and started up Ion Gambling a few years back. Ken's been quoted extensively in the pages of the New York Times, also the Wall Street Journal. When CNN needs a go-to man in a discussion on online gambling, they ring Ken Weitzner. Ken, you talked earlier about the safety and security of offshore sports gambling. A two-part question. Is it safe and secure? And is it legal? Is it legal or illegal to make a bet offshore?
Well, I'll answer your second question first. Each state is different, and you really need to check the laws involving your state where you reside. But the majority of states don't have any laws at this time regarding online gambling, which doesn't mean it's legal, but it also means it's not illegal, which would fall under a gray area. So the majority of states, the key is it's not illegal to place a bet online. And even in the states where it is illegal, I don't know of anyone that's been prosecuted to this date for placing a bet online. And we've been now in this industry for over 10 years. The second part, you want to run that by me again, John?
Yes. Is our money safe and secure? I know there have been horror stories in the past about offshore sports books going belly up. How safe is it to send money offshore?
You know, that's why we have forums like Ion Gambling, because gamblers come in here and they will share their experiences, both good and bad, with these online sports books. And what we do is whether or not we allow advertising doesn't mean that we will block or prevent posters from saying negative things about sportsbooks who are doing the wrong thing. So we believe in free speech. We also need to make a living and accept advertising, but they're not immune from being criticized. So the best place I know to find out whether it's safe is not only to go to Ion Gambling, but there's a plethora of very good posting forums out there where gamblers should do their homework and check and see, especially in this environment, because some of the books that previously were stellar books are now struggling to stay afloat, John.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, an internet radio show dedicated to sports and sports gambling. I'm John Kelly, along with Ken Weitzner. I'm based here in Las Vegas. Ken is calling in from his home in Chesapeake, Virginia. Joining us later in the program will be Joe Lupo, Senior Vice President of Operations at the Borgata Casino Hotel and Spa. We'll talk to Joe about his past in sports gambling. He was once the Director of Race and Sportsbook Operations at the Stardust Hotel and Casino. Ken, I'm interested in asking Joe about the economic downturn and how it's affected Atlantic City. Here in Las Vegas, Ken, 13% unemployment, home foreclosures at an all-time high. I'm not going to call it a ghost town, but I will say that it's not the festive mood that it once was here in Las Vegas. We need some economic recovery.
We're experiencing the same online and offshore. There are books that are in trouble that are hot topics now on the posting forums. Let's not forget to mention World Sports Exchange, who I'm very close with the owners and the management there. They used to be the epitome of everything right in this industry. They would pay out really quickly. They never, ever had a complaint. And now they're experiencing financial hardships. And the main reason that they're not the only one, but the main reason that most sports books are struggling right now to stay afloat is twofold. A, it's become increasingly difficult for gamblers to send monies to these sports books. Credit cards now are not accepting the transactions because of the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act that was passed a few years ago. And on the other hand, it's costing these sports books enormous amounts of money through processors to send back payment when gamblers ask for a payout. And I don't think the gamblers realize how much money it costs these sports books when they have to pay out money these days due to that new law that, well, it's not so new anymore, but due to the UIGEA. So because of the fact that the economy's bad too doesn't help. And I'd say that the volume has gone down at least 50% from where it was at its pinnacle 3 years ago.
What's the fair amount of time, Ken, for an offshore sports book to send you money? What's fair? If you request a payment, say, from a Pinnacle or a Chris or a Bodog or a Bet Phoenix, what's fair in terms of the amount of time it should take for you to see your money?
In this environment, it would be up to a month, unfortunately, John. Years ago, it would be a day or two, but up to a month is a reasonable turnaround. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the reality of the playing field we're experiencing today.
And that's the beauty of living in Las Vegas, Ken. I don't say I avoid the offshores, but in placing a legal wager where I can get my money after the outcome is complete, you know, in terms of options, if the same prices are available on the same game, I'm making a legal bet here in Nevada and not worrying about the offshore world.
And unfortunately for the offshore industry, many a gambler that used to bet online and offshore and they don't live in Vegas, they're going back to the local books because they know that they can count on meeting Dino at the pizzeria on Monday night and get paid, whereas online it's not that easy.
And that's not good for the country at large, the economy. You know, you would hope that the powers that be could get together and tax this revenue. I know in New Jersey, they're estimating that they're losing about $8 million a year in tax revenue, the fact that they don't have a legalized sports wagering. And just recently, Ken, in the news, Delaware sports betting, we thought we were going to get it in Delaware. In fact, we can make games on single or wagers on single games. That would have been a boon, I think, to everyone around. Instead, they've really restricted what you can do in terms of Delaware sports wagering. That was a blow to the industry, I think, Ken, the fact that the federal courts ruled that Delaware could not offer wagering on single game outcomes.
That was a huge blow, and I can't wait to hear what our guest Joe Lupo has to say about that.
We're going to step aside and take the first of our timeouts. When we return, Joe will join us from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. He's the Senior Vice President of Operations there at the Borgata. Joe Lupo is our next guest. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, sponsored by IonGambling.com.
The best in internet talk radio.
A mind-bendingly ingenious plan to control the universe.
We're building the best internet talk radio on the planet. TalkZone.com. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we are back. The premier edition of Winning Wednesdays, an internet radio show dedicated to sports and sports gambling. I am hearing a little echo through my headset, so if Dave Olson's listening, maybe he can correct that problem for me. Our guest right now is Joe Lupo. He's currently the Senior Vice President of Operations for the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. He's been a Boyd Gaming employee since 1986. I first met Joe Lupo at the Stardust Race and Sportsbook, where he served under Robert Walker as the Assistant Race and Sportsbook Manager. Joe, hello. Welcome to Winning Wednesdays. I know you're a busy man. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join Ken and me.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you guys very much. It's been a long time since we spoke, since I left Las Vegas, but it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, and now you're the Senior VP of Operations at the Borgata. What a big job that is. I've heard through the grapevine, Joe, that you're the third most important man there at the Borgata.
I don't know who's counting, but not that that's real important. I just have my duties that I oversee, and we've been very fortunate to have Bob Bogner come back recently. He opened the property and was president, and he's our president now. And so it's been a great run here. I've been here since 2003, since I left the Stardust, and Atlantic City has been treating me pretty well.
How many employees under your direction, Joe?
I don't have we have 7,000 at the Borgata. I guess a couple thousand. I oversee all gaming, table games, slots, entertainment, poker, racebook, and marketing. So probably 2,500.
How has the economic downturn, Joe, affected the Borgata specifically and Atlantic City in general?
Well, it's been pretty tough on Atlantic City. There's a couple. The big issues here have obviously been the recession and Philadelphia. The Philly gaming market has really opened some eyes to people who weren't really familiar here with convenience gaming. I know those that live on the outskirts of Las Vegas are more familiar with it. And for a long time, Atlantic City had the best of both worlds, being the only gaming market here. But just recently, Bethlehem opened, the Sands opened a property in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour north of Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia gaming market has really taken its toll because Philadelphia is a primary market for Atlantic City. So the combination of that coming on, coincidentally at the same time that the recession really started to hit, the recession really started to hit, and take effect here, obviously, out of the New York market, some of our bigger table game play. Here at the Borgata, we have quite a bit of table game play, and those analysts and stockbrokers and then everybody that lived in Manhattan, and we have the pharmaceutical industry in North Jersey and things like that. And the loss of jobs and unemployment going up and everything has really taken its toll as well. So the market has been in a pretty big slide for quite a while. Now, Borgata's hanging in there. We're very lucky. Obviously, we're very fortunate being a property that's the newest property here in Atlantic City. We were the first property to open in 13 years, and that was 6 years ago. So that and with some problems with funding and things like that and debt ratios, there wasn't a lot of money to put in for capital. And so on the other hand, we've been very fortunate. We opened a new hotel last year. And, we have a new property and, we have a lot of visitation and we're hanging in there. We're a little down from last year, but that being said, we're doing our part.
For those who've never been to the Borgata, Joe, but frequent Las Vegas, compare the Borgata in Atlantic City to a casino or a hotel casino operation in Las Vegas.
Well, it's very, as soon as we opened and me being from Las Vegas, that was the very first thing that was said. This is a Las Vegas style property that people hadn't seen here. We're on much more ground here. We're on about 30 acres. The average property here in Atlantic City was on 9 and things were built up periodically. So the other properties are on smaller acreage and just different sections of land, mostly over on the boardwalk area. We're off the boardwalk. We're probably, more akin to a Bellagio type of property. We have six great fine dining restaurants. We really brought fine dining and table games and spa to the market, where the properties were so small, basically it was obviously more efficient, and just to have mostly slots on those properties. And we obviously had more room, and again, we're very fortunate that way. So we added table games, and the table game market had been in a big decline for quite a while. We gave the we added table games and gave the table games player what they wanted. We added a couple nightclubs as well. And so currently we opened with 2,000 rooms. We added another 800 at a hotel called the Water Club, which is adjacent and connects to the Borgata through a retail area. Six great restaurants, including Michael Mean and Wolfgang Puck and Bobby Flay, Old Homestead out of New York, Fornaletto, Stephen Colt from Corsa Cucina at Wynn, and Izakaya Japanese restaurant from the chef Michael Schulzen out of New York and Philadelphia. We have two great spas, one on the 32nd floor of our property. We have the 85-table poker room, which is the biggest in Atlantic City. In fact, today we start our a big September tournament with the WPT Championship starting in a couple weeks. It's one of the lowest WPT buy-ins at a $3,500 buy-in, but an 85-table poker room that is just full and busy all the time. So we're a full-fledged property that most of our guests stay here and never leave the property. We have a big entertainment program. This past weekend we had Journey for two nights and The Roots for a night and Chelsea Handler for two shows and Tracy Morgan for a show. So we have a big entertainment. Entertainment's a priority. And again, we're a full-fledged facility where it's not just about gaming. It's about spa and your hotel room and your pool and entertainment and food and beverage.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays. John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. We're joined by Joe Lupo, Senior Vice President of Operations for the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Joe, you mentioned poker, and that has been the story of the decade, I believe. The gambling phenomenon of the decade is the game of poker, how it's exploded in popularity the past 10 years. Why the explosion in poker? Why has poker become so popular, Joe? And why couldn't that have happened to something like sports betting? I love sports. I love gambling, and I really love sports gambling. You know, I'm jealous when I see, you know, the game of poker getting all the publicity and sports betting being at the back of the bus.
Yeah, John. You know, I know you heard me speak about it a lot while I was at the Stardust, and while there was a lot being raised by McCain and back then, quite a few years ago. You know, and now with Delaware having potential sports betting, it's kind of raised the flag on it a little bit, so it's kind of topical right now. As far as your question, though, you know, we opened with a 34-table poker room back in 2003, and we expanded in 2006. And we were very lucky because we noticed the popularity growing so fast with poker. And you know, the television and the world, you got to give credit to the World Series of Poker. We aligned ourselves with the WPT. Obviously, we're not a Harris property. And it's been a great alignment for us with the World Poker Tour because of there was just so much visibility. You know, I think the combination of there's so many TV stations and television is looking for events to put on television, and all of a sudden there became this game that became pretty, you know, I don't know who did it, but give credit to the people who started showing the whole card and getting you involved in the game. You know, the thing about poker is that, you know, it's you against all these other people. So I think it works on the ego of an individual to say, I can go into a room and look at all these other people and say, I can beat that guy, as opposed to walking into a sports book and knowing you're going up against, it's you against the bookie, it's everybody against the bookmaker who has all this knowledge and all this data and everything and going against the VIG. And, you know, so I obviously the WPT and the WSOP have been extremely successful. Online betting also was, you know, you got to give credit to having the online being able to help proliferate the poker and the different sites where you can learn about it without really costing yourself some money, as opposed to going up and actually making a bet and winning or losing. So it really did itself a lot of favors, and there's been some new regulation that has hurt a little bit. But, you know, we'll see how things go. As far as sports betting, you know, it's a real tough issue. You have a lot of conservative politicians who don't understand the real world a little bit. And it's easy for them to say, especially in the other 46 states who don't have sports betting, yeah, we can't have it. It's against the law, so why should anybody else have it? So let's vote against it. You combine that with the coaches and the presidents of the universities and things like that. And from a college standpoint, it's an easy argument. The other side of the argument, obviously, it's a billion-dollar industry that's happening right now, so let's recognize it and let's tax it and let's regulate it. The only real regulators were those in the state of Nevada. And, you know, the sports books worked very well hand-in-hand with those regulators, worked hand-in-hand with the NCAA, worked hand-in-hand with the NFL many times. And, you know, it was the cooperation with the bookmakers in Nevada with these regulators that helped really, you know, help the keep the integrity of those different leagues up to par. So it's just a tough issue, and it's one that a lot of people don't want to listen to, don't understand. And I don't know. It's going to be a long time before I think there's a lot of movement.
Oh, that's a sorry prediction to hear. I was hoping something would break in Delaware. What were the gambling interests in New Jersey, Joe, saying about your neighbors in Delaware? Were you rooting for or against Delaware sports betting?
You know, I guess I was running a fine line. You know, I had spoken quite a few times before the Senate committees here in New Jersey because it was kind of a hot topic in New Jersey for the last few years. Obviously, New Jersey had a chance to get it, and quite a long time ago, it was voted out, and then there was a few states that were grandfathered in. I think everybody was looking for it. I think everybody's hopeful that they can get it, but a little bit realistic that it's tough to change a federal law. Delaware, you know, some gaming proponents said it's going to take business from Atlantic City. Maybe a little bit, but I didn't think it would affect it that much. I think online sports betting is really what's becoming popular, although illegal. But again, the government's kind of taking a blind eye to it, and politicians are taking a blind eye to it and don't want to really notice how big of an industry it is. But I think, you know, it probably would have been good to open the door. Delaware, I think, can still have sports betting, but they had a big blow with only being able to take parlays, which I know, John, you understand the parlay wager, and it's just not that. While it's a profitable wager, it's going to cut into the total wagers. I think we would have probably looked positively at that to try and, for those individuals or those states or those politicians who wanted to have a positive outlook towards more legalizing more sports betting.
Ken Weitzner, owner and operator of Ion Gambling, EOG.com. Say hello to Joe Lupo.
Hey, Joe. Nice to have you on the show.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
Good. I just have one quick question for you. Why are you guys so scared to take a good-sized wager at a sports book in Vegas, for instance, or if it were in Delaware? It seems like there's a lot of fear among sports books in the United States that they just don't want to take a healthy wager on a college basketball game or a football game. What's the reason?
I think probably the reason that it's tough to take a large accumulation of those wagers. You know, those people betting the large wagers, they're doing it offshore and they're doing it illegally, and they're not letting the IRS know how much they're betting. So if they got to do it in Vegas, yeah, there might be that one person that wants to do it and take that bet and not worry about that, not have any concerns over giving up that information. The fact is there's a lot of people that are concerned about it. You don't have the number of large bettors going out to Vegas anymore. You know, it's a question that, you know, back in the day when I was there at the Stardust before online betting, there was a lot of big money and big bets that were taken. And to a bookmaker, obviously you're looking for a few of those big bets on each side, on each side of the game. Now you have, you know, one person that wants to come and bet $100,000 on a game, and there's nobody else betting $100,000. So you're not doing what's standard in the bookmaking industry and trying to offset that money. And, you know, again, I think it's basically due to regulation.
Joe Lupo made his name as the director of race and sports book operations at the Stardust. Good book, available at bookstores nationwide. The Odds, written by Chad Millman, chronicles the year and the life of Joe Lupo and Bob Scucci there at the Stardust. Also talks about Alan Boston, the professional gambler focused on college basketball. I know Robert Walker, Joe, was your predecessor at the Stardust, and Bob Scucci was your successor. Do you still keep in touch with either Walker or Scucci?
Yeah, I get an email from them once in a while. You know, I guess Robert moved up to Washington and or somewhere up there in the Northwest where he came from, where he was grew up. And I see Bob once in a while when I come out to Vegas. My children are still in Las Vegas, so I frequent Las Vegas quite often to come out and see them as much as I can. And I'll run into Bob once in a while. So I guess they're both doing pretty well, and it was a great, great friendship and great alliance where I think us three, when we all worked at the Stardust or worked together down at the Fremont, we all worked together. We all were on the same page about our bookmaking philosophies, and we all were pretty aggressive and tried to take new approaches. And actually, I think we gambled a lot more than people realized. You know, it's easy to take a bet and move the number a couple points and get that money back. We didn't feel it was the smartest way to book. It was just a bigger way to get middled. So we hung our hats on having action and going into a game with a decision, and that's how we kind of made our way through the day. And it was a great time. I was very fortunate to be able to work with both of them.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays. John Kelly and Ken Weitzner, joined by Joe Lupo. Ken earlier this hour told us about his close association with the most successful sports gambler of all, Billy Walters. In your time at the Stardust, Joe, how many battles did you have with Billy Walters, going head to head with Billy, and how tough was he as an opponent?
I think he was the best that we faced. You know, I started and went back to the Fremont when there was no other book downtown except for the Plaza, I think, and when the World Series was downtown, when it was Binion's, and you had Stu Unger would come over and Billy Baxter would come over and all the big poker players, those guys were pretty tough in their own right. They certainly had a bankroll, and that was a lot of fun. The Chuck Sharps, who there was nobody better in NBA totals. And then the Lem Bankers, and there were quite a few. And as we had the Stardust obviously had phone wagering and had all of the biggest and best players. But it's probably an easy answer to say Billy was definitely the toughest and made the numbers run the most and was the most feared for any bookmaker. But you know, at the Stardust, we always hung the first line, and we always tried to use some of those use the knowledge of some of those bettors. And, you know, we weren't afraid to take a bet. And, you know, once you knew what the right side was, then you dealt it accordingly. And, it was part of the game. So there's no reason to be afraid of it. There was a more practical use to use that knowledge.
What do you miss most, Joe, about your old job there at the Stardust or Las Vegas in general? And what do you like best about where you're at in Atlantic City?
I live at the beach, so that's probably the best. It's a great, great property. You know, our property does, just big, big gaming, numbers, bigger than most properties out in Las Vegas. So it's very exciting. And I deal with a lot of the entertainment. So I book all the entertainment out here, and it's a great, great job. I'm very lucky. Having been with Boyd Gaming for over 20 years, learning a lot about how important working hard and the integrity of our company is, set a good foundation for me. But Vegas, obviously I miss my children the most and the nice weather probably. It was a lot of fun, and I had been very lucky in my lifetime to have the career that I have and have that spell as being a bookie in Las Vegas, and it was a lot of fun. Kind of changed when the internet came on. But you know, I just like the lifestyle in Las Vegas. And again, I'm out there quite a bit, so I see quite a few people and trying to get around a little bit.
What's the update on the Boyd Gaming project there at the old Stardust site? I see the Echelon is on hold right now. What are the plans for that property?
I'm not the best one to ask, although Bob Bogner, who's heading that up, is here right now. It's on hold right now. You know, it's a great piece of property. and we have some money into it as a company. And I know we're always looking and hoping that we're going to kick that into gear and make the most of it. And I think everyone's hoping for this recession to end and Vegas to come back in a strong way with City Center, I guess, about ready to open. I'm not the most familiar with that. But, you know, I think everyone's got, you know, really hopeful right now. And we certainly are as a company, knowing that we have such a big piece of the property on the Strip and our local properties being a foundation for the local sector out in Las Vegas. So, you know, again, there's probably a little bit more time that we're going to need to look and see how the economy is going to turn around. But obviously, it's important to stay positive.
Are you still a big sports fan, Joe?
You know what? I'm not. You know, and I think I just got a little tired of being so involved on a daily basis that it's actually kind of nice. And I go catch a Yankee game here, being on the East Coast once in a while. And you know, I watch some of the big games, and I my schedule has changed a bit, but it's nice to watch sports from a different perspective, not caring who the money's on and what the how much I can win or lose. But so I've lost a little bit of interest, but I still watch the Yankees in a couple key games here once in a while.
Joe, I know your time is tight. Thanks for the 20 minutes, and we'll chat with you down the road sometime. Best of luck with your family here in Las Vegas, with your job in Atlantic City, and we'll chat with you down the road.
Thank you guys very much. Good luck with the show.
Joe Lupo here on the debut edition of Winning Wednesdays. And Ken Weitzner, you talk about well-spoken. Joe measures his words. He talks like a casino executive, does he not? He's a sharp guy, a graduate of UNLV, where he studied hotel management, being with Boyd Gaming since 1986. You have to give credit to Joe for being a company man and climbing the corporate ladder.
I couldn't have said it any better, John.
We'll step aside and take the final time out of the program. When we return, we'll get back to sports betting talk. Let's get some selections and go on record with some plays. I think that's why we're here. That's the most frequent question asked in Las Vegas, Ken. Who do you like? It's not the question you're supposed to ask. The question you're supposed to ask a gambler is, who did you bet? You know, and what number did you bet the game? You know, that's the most critical question. It's not who do you like. It's who did you bet? And we'll
and
ask Ken.
I've got some answers to that question too, John.
Perfect. In fact, Ken will go on record with three selections when we return here on Winning Wednesdays.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Time for more Winning Wednesdays. Here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
Back on Winning Wednesdays, please join us again next week. We'll have Jeff Haney of the Las Vegas Sun as a special guest. This internet radio show dedicated to sports gamblers everywhere. And if I may ask Dave back in the studios there in Chicago, I've got some echo coming through my headset, and if we can clear that up, I'd greatly appreciate it. Much easier to do the program with a clear headset. Ken Weitzner is the co-host of Winning Wednesdays. In fact, this is his brainchild. Ken came up with this idea to have an internet radio show to support his popular sports betting forum, Ion Gambling, or EOG.com. And Ken, there's a live thread at EOG.com right now commenting on the debut edition of Winning Wednesdays.
There sure is, and I'd like to express my gratitude to the following posters who have been saying some nice things about us, John, namely Integrity, King Revolver, Dream Job, Almost All Right, Benny, and One Sweet World, just to name a few of them.
And some, I'm sure, will take their shots at us too, Ken, because that's the world that is the internet sports forums. And that's one thing I don't like about internet sports betting forums is everyone's hiding behind a moniker, and it seems it's very easy to throw stones from the dark as a sports betting contributor. Why not use real names on a sports betting forum, Ken?
Well, I think it gives the poster a lot of power to be able to say things that they would not normally say if they had to reveal their identity. And unfortunately, more times than not, it's a negative.
Ken, you have a head-to-head battle going this year in football with a poster named Ace Ace. Is Ace Ace a friend of yours or an enemy of yours?
Well, let's just say that once the tournament begins, he's my enemy. And I say that because whenever I'm involved in a competition, as I am with the Leroys, which starts this weekend in Vegas, if I don't treat the competition as the enemy, then I'm vulnerable. So I look at him as, you know, he's someone that's trying to take $10,000 from me because we have a side bet of $10,000. So I treat him, you know, with a lot of negative feelings and somebody that's trying to get my money. So he's clearly the enemy. But on a personal level, he's a friend, and he's somebody that I'm glad that we're doing this contest with, and I look forward to competing against him. He's had a long run of success when he was posting at the RX, and he's got a big name, and he works for Doc Sports as well. I think his name with Doc Sports, if I have it right, is Alan Capone Eastman.
Alan Capone Eastman. We don't know if that's his real name either, do we?
No, but that's what he uses with Doc Sports.
Very well. But, best known as Ace Ace, and if you go to EOG.com, you can get more details on that head-to-head showdown between Ace Ace and the Shrink. You mentioned $10,000 is on the line for that competition. Last year, Ken won $80,000 as the winner of the Money Talks Invitational, an event sponsored by Leroy's here in Las Vegas and here in Nevada. You've been good in these showdowns in the past, Ken. You won $80,000 last year. You've won different head-to-head showdowns in the past. This showdown with Ace Ace for $10,000. What's the format for the competition, and where can players access selections that are posted by you and Ace Ace?
The format is very simple. We're doing a spin-off of the Hilton contest. Each of us are making three NFL selections a week with one best bet. Two out of the three selections count as 1 point. Our best bet counts as 2 points. The person with the most total points at the end of the year will be declared the winner. All of our selections can be seen ahead of time on EOG.com. under the NFL football handicapping forum.
You mentioned posters and how important the posters are to the EOG.com family. Let me mention a couple of posters whose contributions I enjoy. I like what Haim offers. You know, whether he's tackling those in the sports advisory business or offering college basketball advice, I like Haim's contributions. Also, Winky Duck, very sharp when it comes to college basketball, especially on the West Coast. I've followed Winky Duck through the years on different sports betting forums. And Jeff Jones, what's his status, Ken, on EOG.com? I love the way he writes. I know his contributions sometimes are inflammatory, but Jeff Jones can muck it up with the best of them on different internet gambling forums. Does Jeff Jones currently contribute to EOG.com?
Jeff Jones most certainly does contribute to EOG.com. I love his posting. He's sarcastic. He's witty. He's got a great sense of humor. Unfortunately, some others don't see it the same way we do, John, and he's a very controversial poster.
Yeah, Mofo Me, I believe he and Jeff Jones sometimes go back and forth. You mentioned Mofo Me is the head moderator, and you talk about prolific. Mofo Me can write, and he must be in front of that internet screen the entire day, the number of posts that he posts there at EOG.com.
I would say he's in front of the internet the entire night. The guy doesn't sleep. He's prolific. He's enthusiastic. He's passionate. He goes out of his way to help any poster that's there. He loves to comment on games that are in progress. He's funny as can be when he's losing. You just don't want to get involved in one of his threads because you'll get your head chopped off. But, you know, I've had many head moderators during my years when I worked for the RX and at EOG. And Mofo Me is by far the best one I've ever had. Is he controversial? Yes. Is he someone that's going to work in a IBM office and do well? No. But for the business model that I've set up with Ion Gambling, he's perfect for the job, and I couldn't be prouder of how he contributes. And on the same token, before I forget, Blondie deserves a lot of the credit too, because she's the unspoken hero. She's the one who does all the work behind the scenes, because both Moaf and me and I are so technically challenged, we would blow up the forum left to our own devices. So I'd like to thank Blondie, who doesn't get the credit she deserves.
And I believe Blondie will be here in Las Vegas this weekend, Friday at 3 o'clock at Hooters Hotel and Casino. Ken Weitzner to open defense of his title in the Money Talks Invitational. Hope to see listeners of the program at Hooters Friday at 3 for the Money Talks Invitational, sponsored by Leroy's. That's the event where 16 handicappers each put up $5,000. It's a winner-take-all event. And Ken Weitzner last year defeated Fat Jack Ross in the championship match. Seven plays is the format. Seven selections is the competition. The head-to-head showdown. Jack Ross went 5-2 in last year's championship match, only to watch Ken finish 6-1 and take home the $80,000 first place prize. Let's go to our pick segment now. Winning Wednesdays, the last 10 minutes of the show. We're going to feature selections from Ken Weitzner. I'll also toss in a play as well. I like to gamble, and I have an edge, I believe, in a Major League Baseball game tonight, so stay tuned for that. The Major League Baseball play that I like is the game that deals with the L.A. Angels of Anaheim and the Seattle Mariners. It goes tonight, 10:05 Eastern, 7:05 Pacific. The play on Wednesday, September 9th, is the under in the Angels-Mariners game, under the total of 9. The Angels are big favorites to win this game, minus 210 is current price at Pinnacle. And I look for Weaver to dominate the Mariners. The pitching matchup is Jared Weaver against Ian Snell. Both pitchers are in excellent form. The Halos last night defeated the Mariners 3-2 in 10 innings, but the Angels did not hit in the clutch. They were just 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. What I like best about this bet is that Jared Weaver has Ichiro's number. Ichiro last night was 0-for-5, and in his career against Jared Weaver, Ichiro Suzuki is 7-for-33. That's hitting just .212. I'm looking for the Angels and Mariners to play another low-scoring game tonight in Anaheim. 7 of the last 9 meetings between these two teams have gone under the total. I'm going to go under 9 in the Angels-Mariners game. That's my top play on tonight's card. Again, Wednesday, September 9th. Angels, Mariners, under the total of 9. Ken Weitzner, I've left you about 5 minutes to give us the three plays that you like best. I understand you have a play for Thursday, one for Saturday, and another for Sunday.
Yes, John, and I won't need 5 minutes because I'm more of a numbers guy, and I look for value and the direction which way a point spread's going to end up moving. And if I can get a point or two better than the closing number, I've done my job. So I'm going to try and steer gamblers that are listening to this show, not only to just selections, but to the numbers that I believe are going to be favorable right now, but they won't be favorable if they wait. And one of the games I like is tomorrow night, and it's the Georgia Tech Clemson game. And if you look carefully, there's a split between 5 and 5.5, depending on where you bet the game. And I like the dog here, Clemson. And main reason I like the dog is from all my contacts that I have available to me, I have every reason to believe that Clemson is going to be hit, and it's going to be hit by sharp money, and the line might close as low as 4. But there's some trends to consider as well. If you're a pure handicapper, Clemson is 4-1 straight up in their last 5 games. They're 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games. And they're 4-1 against the road in their last 5 games when playing against Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. So there's a few reasons to take Clemson, and I like Clemson as my first selection for Thursday.
Clemson +5.5 over Georgia Tech, the first of 3 plays from the shrink. Saturday college football action, the game here in Las Vegas, UNLV playing host to Oregon State. Ken, Oregon State is currently a 7-point road favorite. Do you like the Pac-10 rep, or are you going to take the home underdog Rebels?
Well, John, I think I'm going to go with your team. I'm going to take UNLV, and this is a risky selection. But I know that UNLV looked awfully good against the nobody last week, but they're playing against a Pac-10 team. This is going to be a good barometer to see how improved this Rebel team really is. And there are some positives that they can take out of the Sacramento State game as well. the offense scored when they needed to score. And I don't think they're going to have a problem at all with their offense. It may be their defense against the run, I understand, didn't look so hot at times. But they've got a lot to prove, and this is a team on the rise. They're playing at home. I think this game is like a very, very big game for this UNLV team. I may be mistaken, John. I'm not down there in Las Vegas, but I know the spread opened at 8. It's now at 7, and I see the line going south. So that's another reason to grab the 7 while it lasts. I don't think you'll see 7 come Saturday.
UNLV plus 7 over Oregon State, Ken's second selection. I've been highly critical over the years of the coach at UNLV, Mike Sanford. He is 12-36, losing 3 times as many games as he's won in his 5 years here at UNLV. And if he has another losing season this year, something tells me he is out the door after this year. This is a statement game, an important game in Sanford's time here at UNLV. Ken thinks that Sanford's team will be ready to play. Take UNLV plus 7 over Oregon State. And now Sunday's NFL action. A couple of minutes remaining in the program. You're going to focus on that Green Bay Packers-Chicago Bears game. The Pack right now a 3.5-point favorite.
Oh, boy. Talk about a highlight marquee game that the whole world's going to be watching Sunday night. This is it. These two teams hate each other. And I remember you mentioned that tournament I won going 6-1. I was going home on the on a plane, and it came down to the Bears and the Packers, and I believe the Bears beat the Packers in overtime last year by 3 points on a field goal. So there's a revenge element, too, to this game. But I believe the Packers have a very, very good offense right now. There is no question that the Bears' offense has markedly improved with Cutler at the helm. But I think they still haven't yet all found their roles. You know, it's always harder than people realize to adjust to a new quarterback that comes into the system. And I believe, really, the Packers may have the best offense in the NFL. It's impossible to ignore something, and that is their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, had a passer rating of 151.1 through 3 preseason games. That's remarkable. And I believe that the Packers being able to score a lot of points should give them enough of an advantage and playing at home on a Sunday night and the rivalry to cover a 3.5-point number, which I believe, again, will close at 4 or higher.
That'll wrap up the premier edition of Winning Wednesdays for Ken Weitzner. I'm John Kelly. Special thanks to Joe Lupo. Next Wednesday, it's Jeff Haney of the Las Vegas Sun. If you like the show, spread the word and tell a friend. If you didn't like the show, keep it to yourselves. That'll wrap up our program. For Ken, I'm John. Thanks for listening to Winning Wednesdays.